Bye-bye. Oh, you tripping. I'm out of here anyway. Peace out.
Tomorrow I will have a top five for you. I don't know what it is yet. I might have to do I hate to reduce it to gender, but I might have to do a top five female MC list because I saw one last week that didn't even have Ladybug Mecca on it, and it was like top 50. I was like, what are y'all doing? So maybe that'll be the list that I do tomorrow. We shall see. We'll see. Get Ray's input on some of this stuff as well. But until then, there is White Sox Guardians baseball coming up tonight over on the south side, and the weather's going to be nice over the next few days, so that should be fun. I'll probably make my way over there. But before the game even starts, you've got Parkins and Spiegel. They are back together. They are in the studio. Parkins is totally fine. I talked to him in the hallway. He's totally fine. He's ready to rock and roll for the next 4 hours here on The Score.
I did a segment right after it. I called in on Friday, man. Yeah, snip, snip. It was easy. I had golf balls this morning. No big deal.
What'd you say about your balls this morning? They looked like golf balls?
No. I hit golf balls this morning. Mild bruising. Thank you for asking. but yeah, I'm fine, man. It could not have been easier.
I wish you hit the golf balls harder than that. Just mild bruising. That's not going to get you more than 30, 40 yards.
No, I know. That's true. Yeah, you gotta grip it and rip it, chew it and do it, all those sorts of things. But yeah, I'm back, and I don't plan to take a day off for, at least a couple weeks. At this point,
it's a good choice.
Yeah, at least a couple weeks. I plan to be here.
We should get into a flow. This is a moment. It is a Monday, right? It's Monday. It's May, right?
Well,
you've
taken four vacations so far in 2022.
I'm all
who's keeping count?
Yeah. I've had a child and a minor procedure. I'm just saying, speech was kicking my ass in fun in 2022.
There was a text exchange at one point where, like, I think you were knee deep in diapers, and I was like headed to the poker room, and you're like, we live very different lives.
Yeah. You're like, oh, do you think you could maybe get out and come join me at Rivers this Friday night for a 5-hour hold'em session? I was like, no, I don't. I don't think that I could do that, Speaks.
It's really interesting, too, on how this is like a juxtaposition where this was Danny's life for a while. What Spiegs is doing.
Yes.
Vacation and poker room.
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, his whole life.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Yeah. I am a real adult.
You are?
It sucks.
I hope.
I'm married with kids and a mortgage in the burbs.
I hope parenting.
My life is over.
I hope parenting just gives you a lot, you know?
It is super fulfilling and super challenging. Like, you know, and so then when the
fun happens,
I fully embrace the fun.
It's like summer in the city, hot times.
Which we finally made. But also, when Owen goes to sleep and Eli, the newborn, is sleeping, the thought of, like, go out and party doesn't even enter the brain.
It happens, man.
Glass of wine and don't move and embrace the silence. Like, do we even want to turn on the TV, or should we just embrace some silence here for like 30 minutes of quiet time? It's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely beautiful. Texter says Danny's wife is now considering having more kids. No.
No, that's over with.
Yeah, she is very on board and appreciative of Snip Snap.
Kids won't be with you.
That's fine.
Unless you have Antonio Cromartie's powers of breakthrough.
Don't even.
Power sperm!
Don't even put that into the atmosphere. This thing better have taken and better hold.
So look,
enough about.
They took.
It'll never be enough about it. And you know that this show is never going to let that allow that to happen, that it'll be enough about it.
How about this? How about like the Grizzlies and the Warriors took what? 3 days off between games, and now that Ja's hurt, it's just one day.
Yeah.
Just one day off.
Because they're back at home. No travel.
Yeah. How about this could be 3 days. I want Ja to play, man. I want him to be in the full bloom of his athletic potential as we watch this thing tonight.
Well, the good thing is that they do have a really good run. Were they 20-5 without Ja this season?
Yes.
And playoff Warriors on the road, though, man.
It's rough. It's rough. But maybe that means that there'll be less of Ja's dad.
Yeah, I'd be surprised if he got as much camera time, if Ja's dad got as much camera time without Ja out there. But yeah, I looked at it. 10.5-point dogs.
Oh boy!
All of a sudden,
that's rough.
Yeah, because like you're right. Like the Grizzlies have done it before. They had a great stretch without him, but in San Fran against playoff Warriors, that is a tough order. And anyone have like terrible Derrick Rose flashbacks?
Yep.
You know, like it's obviously we don't think it's nearly that serious, but he's clearly like in the Derrick Rose Russell Westbrook mold of freak athlete, mm-hmm. 99th percentile athlete, point guard, and then knee injury. And you just wonder, you know, he's been hitting a ton of threes, so he's obviously very skilled, but you do worry about when the athleticism goes, either because of age, which obviously is not a problem,
right,
or injury, which now is.
Yeah, you don't like
what
to see
version
people,
he is.
You don't like to see people robbed of their athleticism and see fans robbed of seeing a kid's prime. But we'll
and it's
see.
Been the most entertaining series of the postseason.
Absolutely.
And like the most physical and in some cases dirty series in the postseason. While you were out, Danny, Spiegs and I were talking about Allen Iverson. How Allen Iverson has kind of become this ambassador.
Mm-hmm.
And that I think it's great because he's always been one of my favorite players. And seeing him mature into an elder statesman and how these kids like all love him and he's accepting the love and he's giving the love back. One of the things that he said to Ja was, the floor doesn't give and you need to stop hitting the floor. Like I know that you want to go out and you're trying to put people through the rim, and he gave us maybe the best highlight of the postseason with that cockback dunk.
Mm-hmm.
But the words of Allen Iverson, they would have worked for Derrick Rose too. The floor doesn't give. Stop giving up your body. But these guys are wired that way. He was wired that way. Derrick was wired that way. And Ja's wired that way. And I love what Derrick's game has turned into now. And I imagine that Ja will be able to make that transition. But yeah, man, he's too small to continue to keep thundering through people without there being some significant injury potential.
Yeah, Derek's game now is like Frank Tanana in his late
yes.
career when he adjusted and became a soft tosser. You know, you do what you can. It's like aging John Lester, still getting a lot out of the stuff. Your adoration for Allen Iverson and this new OG phase of Allen Iverson's career came up in conversation on Saturday night, Lawrence. I was over at Marquee filming something and was talking to your friend Cole Wright
yes.
and to Carlos Pena. But Cole is more excited than anybody should be about a book, and it's the Ricky Henderson book.
Oh, he loves Ricky.
He loves Ricky. And Ricky is deserving of the love.
Yeah.
But shouldn't Ricky, who was ahead of his time in swag and in style in a lot of ways, should have an OG period of like just drinking in the fame and the adulation and imparting advice like Iverson is having now. Like Ricky should get back in the zeitgeist with some swag if given the chance.
What's interesting, Speaks, is that I think that now there are more teams that would be open to it than before. Like I was reading a quote from the Guardians, and they were talking about, oh yeah, we're all about getting on base and bothering people.
Yeah, they are.
While we're on base and making it uncomfortable for pitchers. And that's such a shift from how we saw teams being put together and developed, where we were talking about, you know, true three outcome type stuff. Where now there's a little bit more of that. So maybe more teams and or players would be receptive to hearing Ricky's thoughts on the game than they would have 5 years ago or 10 years ago.
Is Ricky Henderson, like his personality, one of like giving and sharing advice?
I mean, it wasn't when he was a player.
Yeah, but I'm genuinely asking, has he aged and matured in that way?
That's a good question.
I don't know.
Because I wouldn't have guessed that Iverson's personality was that as a player, right? That's part of the
right.
That part of the joy of seeing it is seeing that maturity. So I don't know.
No, it'd be fascinating. And to your point, Lawrence, about the advice from Iverson, that is the right lesson, but it is such a tough one to hear at 22 years old.
Yep.
You think you're invincible, and if you're Ja Morant, you became most improved player in the NBA, which is silly.
By flying high.
But you became, you know, an all-star game starter, earning the praise of LeBron James the night that he drafts you for Team LeBron in the All-Star game, purely on athleticism and like playing your way. Like, he hasn't had to change yet. This might be the first time where he's really confronted with the thought of even changing, and I doubt it's even entered into his mind to change.
Well, and we have an injury that is based on, you know, a guy grabbing his knee accidentally,
right,
or on purpose,
right? So he probably doesn't look at it as a product of his play, just as a product of playing.
Somebody doing that to him. Yeah, there's lessons galore here in that series and in the NBA. Gary Payton Jr. with the broken elbow when he hits the ground. I heard Chuck talking about it, saying, land on your body, you know, land on your hips and land on your back. Don't use your arms. Don't try to break your fall with your arms, because you will break whatever part of your arm hits, like Alex Caruso in the wrist, right? And Gary Payton Jr. in the elbow here.
Anyone want to make a definitive claim to who's going to win the title? Like, does anyone have conviction on it right now?
I do right now, based on what happened Saturday, because that was the Celtics game to win, and they did not win it. And I've been thinking that the winner of that series is going to win it all. I think the Bucks are going to repeat.
So you've got Bucks repeating, and you've got Bucks. It with conviction.
Yep.
I got the Bucks too, and I bet them 3 months ago to win it. And once they get Middleton back, Giannis is a freight train that is out of control.
He can do it anyway now too. He did it with physicality, like brute physical force on Saturday, and he can obviously do it flying on the break, and he can do it any way that he needs to.
I agree with you guys. Like, if I had to choose one team, I'd choose the Bucks. I think they're, you know, deserving favorites. I still think Phoenix is awesome. And there's something about Philly, man. Like,
it was cool to see James Harden go.
Right.
Because people were really throwing dirt on James Harden. He was like, no, I still can play.
Well, right. Well, so if Embiid dodged some bullet here with the orbital fracture and can still be dominant with the face mask, and if Harden can give you an efficient 30, right? Like, then
I just think that a healthy Embiid, like, and I mean fully healthy Embiid, and obviously no one's 100% at this point in the playoffs, but he's going to catch a bow, man. He's going to catch a Giannis bow.
I know.
You know what I mean? Like, it's probably even just going to be accidental. It's not going to be anything intentional. It's just he's going to be waiting for Giannis on a break, and Giannis is going to be all arms and legs, and then Embiid's going to get hit in the face, and he's going to be gone.
You're probably right. Like, I wouldn't have Philly very high up there, but seeing Harden do what he did, and then the Warriors too. Like, I am waffling on it. I think that it is so fun, and we talked about it last Thursday, Speaks. Like, it is so wide open, and the gambling odds reflect this late into the postseason. And you're like, oh, it's not that late. It's only the second round. But yeah, normally at this point, we have a clear-cut favorite, and more series are still sweeps or, you know, gentlemen sweeps. Like, these series still feel very much in doubt, basically across the board. Like, and I think that's great for the league, and it makes it very tough for me to have conviction on who's going to win this one.
I'm with you, Danny. And to me, what kind of lit the match was the way that Boston dispatched of Brooklyn. Like, if Brooklyn would have gotten into this, like, farther into this thing, you'd be like, oh, okay, Brooklyn's going to figure all this stuff out, and they've got Kevin Durant, and they've got Kyrie Irving. Once they were dismissed, it opened the door for so many possibilities, and seeing the Warriors kind of back to playing the type of ball that they were playing in 16 and 17, and seeing Klay be this type of player again is a lot of fun. They're finding new guys. Like, Jordan Poole's been outstanding so far in this tournament. I'm still not turning my back on Memphis, even with Ja being hurt. They did a really smart thing at the end of the game, and that was get Steven Adams minutes that don't matter, because he had come off the COVID list.
Mm-hmm.
So he got like 7 minutes of garbage time But still, for him, it was better than a practice.
See, it's amazing that they're doing all this without Adams at full availability and capability, because that two-man game with the two of them was like...
It's butter.
Oh, my God. Their pick-and-dive game, and even just Adams going and offensive rebounding better than just about anybody. The fact that that hasn't even been a component in this series is even more amazing.
Well, that's what I'm looking for tonight. I think it'll be him and Tyus Jones doing a little bit of that two-man game, and they'll finally have someone to kind of... you know, bruise and bang a little bit and get them some extra shot opportunities. Mm-hmm. Watching them play without Ja for more than a quarter of the games this season was really interesting to see where the points would come from and how they would figure out how to make this work. I expect their defensive intensity to be through the roof in game four, and I can't wait to see it.
Yeah, I don't know, man. I don't know if they can hang. Like, it should be fun, and I've been locked in on these playoffs. The playoffs have been great, honestly, across the board. I feel like the Warriors got gift wrapped this one, though, unfortunately. But I don't know. It's weird. Like, we're all saying it's wide open, but we're all in agreement that we'd pick the Bucks. So maybe it's not
hoping.
Quite as wide open.
I think
as,
we're hoping that it's wide open. And here's the other thing. Like, I really do hope that this idea of it being open and this kind of like team concept doing what it's doing, should that mean that I have a little more faith in the Bulls as the front office will probably have to bring back the core and just kind of try and tweak it a little bit? And maybe they'll be emboldened at this idea of just like, oh, no, we could get great after being good. We could do that. Teams get better. This is how it works.
I mean... No, would be my answer. Like, right. I still think the core of the Bulls that will win at the highest level likely does not. Almost assuredly doesn't include Vooch, and I think it doesn't include DeRozan either. Like, I think it's more likely to be a Zach LaVine, Patrick Williams, Lonzo Ball core with whatever they add when the contracts of Vooch and DeRozan are tradable assets. Like, I think they're signing LaVine. I think Lonzo is a great two-way piece who's super young, and I think Patrick Williams can become that. But I think this team is a good regular season team that probably has a fairly low postseason ceiling on it, as presently constructed. But I do think they'll bring it back next year. Like, I think next year's roster is going to look very, very similar to this past year's roster because of, like, what are they going to do? What would be the biggest change you could make? They'll trade Kobe White, you know. Okay, mm-hmm. Fine. They'll try to trade Vooch. I don't think that they'll be that successful.
That'd be the big one. That would be the big shakeup, or a Zach sign and trade that shocks the world.
That's not happening.
Of course,
that is not happening. Okay, he's just not the problem. I know I'm just gonna die on this hill. He is not the problem.
No, you're not going to die on the hill. There's nobody nationally that thinks the Bulls letting Zach LaVine walk in any way or facilitating a leave for him is a good idea. There's nobody. I mean, like, we're
because he's awesome,
right? Well, and because of the way that NBA finances work, it's like, no, this is when he gets his max deal. And as the promo that still runs, I think, with Lawrence saying, I don't feel like he's a max player, but he's going to get a max contract. I mean, a lot of us are in, even if you're in that kind of place, you get the max deal when you've reached this point for Zach LaVine. You just do.
What is it that you don't like about him, Lawrence?
It's not that I understand that he's a good player, but, and I agree that he's not the problem. I just don't think he's the solution. I think that there's still too many possessions where he might turn shoots, which makes sense because he's one of the better shooters on the team. I think that some of the game flow stuff he doesn't get. I didn't like the shot with the 30-footer that made no sense in game one of the series against Milwaukee. I think he's a really good player who still has some limitations, and I don't think he's going to age well. That's my concern.
Oh, that part's interesting to me. Because, like, I think that he's, because he is such a good shooter, right? He's been in the three-point contest. His three-point percentages have improved. Like, he's still young enough, right? He's 27.
Yeah, but I think he's basketball older than that. It's the same. Like, he's old in the way that Luol Deng was, where, sure, if you look at the number, you go, oh, yeah, it's a 27-year-old guy. But it's a 27-year-old guy that's had reconstructive surgery on the knee. He's probably going to need at least another surgery on the knee. And if he's not high-flying along with continuing to become a better shooter, are you really going to max out a player that you might be projecting to be a stand-in-the-corner three-point shooter going forward?
That's interesting. I hadn't considered it like that. Because to me, like, if he signs that five-year deal, right?
I don't know if they give him the five, right? Because that would be the super.
No, they can. It's 4,157 is the most that someone else can give him, and it's
5,210.
5,210 is the most the Bulls can give. Super would be if he had qualified for all NBA. It would be like 5,245 or something.
Do you want to give him the five?
I do. I think you give him the five the second the negotiating window opens.
And I think they will. I think he's going to get the 5,210. There's like six or seven teams that could trade for it as constructed, but those are kind of, they're places that he wouldn't want to go. Bad teams in bad situations that have the room. But somebody with a star could get interested and could have a conversation.
In 5 years, Zach LaVine is DeMar DeRozan's age. But DeMar DeRozan's game has evolved. You know, like
it could evolve more, though.
Who, DeMar's?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yes, of course. But I'm saying that, like, there's still a long way to go for Zach LaVine. Like, I think that it's very possible that you sign Zach LaVine to a 5-year deal, that he's made the last two All-Star teams, that he makes three more consecutive All-Star games, and now he's a 5-time All-Star, as a top 10 scorer in the NBA, and we still haven't seen him with a point guard because of how much Lonzo means. Like, think about what Chris Paul did to Devin Booker, right?
But that's a different type of point, though, Danny. Like, he,
of course, like, but it's like, a good passer.
It is, but Lonzo is not a half court point.
Agreed.
And I do want to see those two guys together and run. Like, I think that would be a lot of fun. But looking at both of them, I don't trust that we're ever going to get that consistently enough for it to matter the way I want it to.
Yeah, I don't know. I definitely want to see it. And the alternative to not retaining Zach is basically repeating what happened with Jimmy.
Yep.
Which is, we've got a guy who is not top five, but he's top 20, call it top 25, wherever he is on your list. And saying, well, because he's not Giannis, because he's not LeBron, because he's not KD, we don't want to keep that guy. That's not good for your reputation among players. That's not good for continuity. Like, I think I
understand everything you're saying, man. And it makes a lot of sense. There's something missing from his game that's just not allowing me to be like, yes, give him all the money and all the responsibility. I just feel like we're going to, That a few years from now, the three of us will be talking. We'll be like, man, what could have been? Like, that's the career trajectory I see Zach LaVine being on. That we go, what could have been instead of what was.
And you mean what could have been for Zach LaVine, not what could have been in terms of what Arturis could do right now? Because he's kind of handcuffed right now.
Yeah, like what could have been for this guy who clearly, like, you look at him and you go, he's got... You would look at Zach and say, offensively, he's got all the things. He can get his own shot. He can finish above the rim. He can shoot three-pointers.
I just hope that what has definitely been obvious as a lack of slashing ability, and obviously the lack of elevation and finishing high and strong around the rim for a former slam dunk champion, that's all about this knee, and that's all fixable and not going to degenerate at all. Because there have been lots of times, and you've seen him, where he, like,
Degeneration X!
But he'll turn into a defender and just kind of steamroll somebody instead of, like, you know, cutting left or right and slashing. Not that I could do any of that, but you know what I mean. But we're used to seeing a guy who's been able to do that. So I worry about the health of the knee and my faith in that knee for the next 5 years. But
make it plural. Knees.
Yeah, but I know it's the right thing. I know it's the right thing to sign him, and they'll just have to figure some other things out.
Look, if they do it, I'm not going to like rage against the machine. I'll be like, oh, okay, great. But I also wouldn't be like, oh, they're the worst front office in the world if they sign and trade him. Oh. That's where I'm at.
Wow. Okay. Interesting. I don't know who you would do it for. That
Kevin Durant.
Okay.
Kyrie Irving.
Yeah. God, I would hate that.
You would love it.
No.
Danny,
no.
That would be content for this show for eons.
I want the Bulls to win and have stability.
Rudy Gobert.
No. Stop.
As part of the package.
Yeah, he was 12th in the NBA in scoring.
Donovan Mitchell.
And he was injured the entire time.
How about Donovan Mitchell?
No, Zach is better than Donovan Mitchell. Like,
oh, man.
How about Rudy Gay?
No.
Oh.
How about Rudy Martsky? Actually, he hasn't been around for a long time.
How about Rudy from The Cosby Show?
Oh, yes. This is disrespectful.
Mm-hmm.
12th in the NBA in scoring, injured the entire year. Like,
yeah,
this guy has another level that he can get. He's improved. He's improving.
You haven't weighed in on either Rudy Martsky or Rudy from The Cosby Show.
What about Rudy from Notre Dame?
Yeah, these are good questions.
Well, that was an inspiring
story. Rudy Giuliani, right up your political alley.
Yeah, that's who I want. Good point guard, good decision maker.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. High integrity. Good character guy.
The answer that I gave you is they didn't bother to interview a single witness. Just...
All right.
He's good for four seasons.
Yep. Oh, God.
We're hanging out. The mob is reunited. Lawrence, Sox haven't lost since I'm back. The Cubs are tough to love. There's a bear that I think we need to at least convince ourselves or maybe force ourselves to fall in love with.
Will there be any Barry Trotz to the Hawks talk?
Have a good day, Lawrence.
Bye, guys.
Danny's Open is next. Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.